It is January of 2007. Reed Hastings sits impatiently in the sleek conference room at Netflix's new headquarters. He's waiting for the next in a string of tech journalists to come in and see what he's up to. You see, these days, Reed Hastings is a big deal in Silicon Valley. If he tells a reporter he's working on something, he knows they'll come by to see what he's up to. They always do. The door opens, and a skinny 30-something reporter in black jeans and a turtleneck walks in. Hey, come on in. Hi, Reed. So what are you up to now? Take a seat. I got something I think will knock your socks off. This is our streaming app. We call it Watch Instantly. All you do is load it on your laptop and watch this. The app loads flawlessly. Hastings chooses a movie from a list of titles and then clicks on play and voila. You're watching a movie. The whole process takes like 20 seconds. Instant, high-quality streaming. You don't have to wait for downloads or anything. Hey, that's pretty cool. But this is just for laptops and computers, right? Well, yeah, for the time being. But people are putting in home theaters and buying bigger televisions. Who's going to want to watch movies on a laptop? And by the way, your laptop's connected to a high-speed internet, right? I mean, how many people have that? More young people are watching entertainment on their computers, and high-speed Wi-Fi is going to be everywhere sooner than you think. Reed, this is pretty neat, but how does this win against cable on demand? I mean, you only have, what, 1,000 titles here? And look, I mean, scroll down. These are all, excuse me for saying so, Reed, but these aren't exactly the hot new releases. That's the wrap on Netflix's new service. Cool idea, but too little content. So much of it, a little old or third rate. Well, thanks for having me over, Reed, and good luck with that. As the journalist leaves, Hastings frowns. Damn, he thinks to himself. He put his finger on it. How do you get people used to this idea of streaming movies on a laptop instead of watching DVDs or ordering them up on pay-per-view? Most of all, Netflix needs studio movies, even bad ones, to make this happen. And Hastings has to accomplish all of this before the studios realize he's created his empire by piggybacking off their content and broadband network. If Reed Hastings can pull this off, Netflix lives. If not, the studio heads and cable will crush him.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. I'm David Brown. In the last episode, Netflix vaporized Blockbuster with killer algorithms that anticipated what consumers wanted to watch before they even knew they wanted to watch it. Now Reed Hastings is about to introduce viewers to something else they didn't even know about. but would one day demand. Streaming. Back in 2004, Hastings ordered his engineers to create an easy-to-use video player and a device that would let users stream content straight to their TVs. Now the streaming technology was ready, but they still needed good content. Hastings summoned his content chief, Ted Sarandos. Ted, we got to cut some deals with the studios to stream their stuff and get these deals locked up now. Well, wait, I mean, what about all the independent filmmakers and producers you've been cultivating all these years? Surely we've got some good relationships with them, right? Yeah, but we need mainstream stuff, and lots of it. Reed, I don't think they believe people want to stream movies. Ted, I'm willing to accept we might not get first crack in their newest stuff, but we need something. It's 2008. Sarandos and Hastings stand in the center of New York City's noisy Columbus Circle, looking up at the massive, brand-new 55-story Time Warner Center. They walk into the jaws of the media mammoth. This trip will eventually become an annual pilgrimage for them. As they enter the building for the first time, Sarandos is definitely uneasy. Reed, I gotta tell you, I don't have a good feeling about this. It's easy to understand why Sarandos felt this way. They're here with what? They've come with some measly licensing money to spend? Sure, but they're meeting with the big man himself, Time Warner's smart, powerful chairman and CEO, Jeff Bukas. And when I say big, how big? Well, let's just take a moment to review Bukas's fiefdom. Bukas's empire includes Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, and Turner Broadcasting, the Batman and Superman movies, the Harry Potter franchise, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Casablanca, and Oscar winners like Million Dollar Baby and Driving Miss Daisy. Oh yeah, and Time Warner also owns something else, the second largest cable operator in the country. And lest we forget, Time Warner owns HBO. So when Bukas ushers them into his office, they are eager. Bukas is wary. Hastings shows Bukas the demo of their new streaming platform. Bukas listens carefully as Sarandos makes the sales pitch. We're offering what is essentially found money for your classic movies and TV shows that aren't even bringing in revenue for Time Warner anymore. But as Sarandos wraps up, Bukas is annoyed, bordering on angry.
Gentlemen, I'm going to cut to the chase here. You will never get HBO programming, or frankly, any of our premium content. Never. It's far, far too valuable.
Mr. Bukas, please hear us out here. We're offering to pay a flat fee, six figures, up front, not revenue sharing. So we at Netflix would be taking on all the risk that people watch it.
The answer's still no. Well, what about HBO series? Not in my lifetime.
It's understandable Bukas is protective of HBO's content. He gambled big with original programming a decade earlier when he ran HBO and scored with hits like The Sopranos and Sex and the City. And on top of that, HBO relies on subscribers, just like Netflix. Now, Bukas understands that Netflix is in many ways trying to follow in HBO's footsteps.
Start off by luring subscribers with whatever content you can afford until you're offering exclusive content, first-rate movies and television shows. He knows that eventually, even with this new streaming technology, Netflix will need that high-quality content to survive. But he'll be damned if he'll be the one to give it to him.
With Bukas's rejection, Hastings and Sarandos come to a cold realization.
They've got to lock down every content deal they can find now or be shut out of the market. Reed Hastings pushes his sales team to get the Netflix streaming app onto any internet-connected device that plays video, DVD players, game consoles, smartphones. If it's online and it plays video, we got to be there. We need to be front and center on every mobile device. Now, the idea that many people would want to watch an entire movie or TV show on a tiny smartphone screen does, in fact, seem a bit far-fetched to a lot of folks at this point. But Hastings is adamant. This is the future.
Netflix launches Watch Instantly, but critics are asking, what's there to watch?
Watch Instantly starts in 2007 with only 1,000 titles, a measly 1% the size of their DVD catalog. But Sarandos and his team work around the clock, and by the following year, the list of titles has grown to 10,000. Still, their efforts to get new movies fall short. Netflix's DVD customers are accustomed to getting the best, latest movies just a day or two after ordering them. But when those same users try Netflix's streaming service, let's just say the selection is a bit of a letdown. The titles are neither the latest nor the best. And Netflix users in chat rooms don't pull punches either. For the new arrival movies, I get to select from Precious, The Bounty Hunter, Centurion, Avalon High, and Exit Through the Gift Shop. Poor, poor, poor. Reed Hastings isn't really bothered by the chat storm. I mean, at least it shows customers are trying the streaming app. But you know that expression, content is king? Well, it turns out, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's a hard-working algorithm that burrows into customers' habits. See, it's not just viewers watching Netflix here. It's that Netflix algorithm watching the watchers. It sees not only how people search for movies, but how long they watch them, even if they say they don't like them. The streaming software detects how often a person watches or rewatches a scene, or skips past one, or even which actors appeal to which viewers, and eventually, which groups of viewers. With this information, Netflix develops an intricate behavior profile for each subscriber. This helps them assemble micro-audiences for different movies. One day, this information will be the gold vein they've been digging for. By mid-2008, Hastings' team had gotten a Netflix streaming app onto dozens of devices, including Microsoft's Xbox game console and the Roku set-top box. Nintendo's Wii and Sony's PlayStation follow 2 years later. Blu-ray DVD players come preloaded with the app. Subscriptions begin to soar. But something even bigger is about to happen.
What the heck is going on down here?
All of a sudden here, we started hearing screaming.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped more than 900 points.
Fear came back into the market in a very big way.
The major studios and television networks watch in horror as their profits and stock prices tank amid something that will be called the Great Recession. As it grips the nation, companies everywhere are desperate for cash, including big media. And sitting pretty amid the wreckage, Reed Hastings and Netflix. This time, when Ted Sarandos knocks on the studio's doors with cash in hand, the studio bosses are, let's say, more negotiable. Content deals start flowing. Newer, better titles, too. The global economy may be in a meltdown, but Netflix's fortunes are on the rise. Sarandos' biggest breakthrough comes in late 2008. Even with more content deals, Sarandos still can't get the newest, most popular blockbusters onto Netflix's streaming service. Those hot titles had long ago been locked up in exclusive deals with premium cable channels like HBO, Showtime, and Starz Entertainment. Sarandos knows where HBO stands, thanks to Jeff Bukas's unsettling candor. But Sarandos finds another, more willing partner, a smaller pay TV movie channel called Starz. Sarandos convinces the head of Starz to sign over the digital licensing rights for a relatively paltry sum of $25 million a year. Cash is cash, after all. Suddenly, Netflix has a huge crop of Sony and Disney blockbusters ready to stream. Spider-Man 3, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Pixar's Ratatouille. This, yes, this is what Netflix has been waiting for. A chance to offer customers the same movies they can get on pay cable channels, but at a fraction of the price. For his part, at least, the president and CEO of Starz Entertainment, Bill Myers, is delighted with the deal. Netflix has grown to be an innovative leader in the home video space, and we are delighted to offer their customers our unique and robust collection of movies on a subscription basis. Sure, he's delighted. He's just got a $25 million lifeline. And like most of Hollywood, Myers doesn't see Netflix as a threat. No, no, no. This is something new. This is a symbiotic relationship. But there's somebody else on the sidelines. Someone who sees Netflix as a tool for his own success. You might say he's a tech guy who thinks different. One day, in late 2009, Netflix chief Reed Hastings walks into the Cube Farm where his engineers work, clutching a printout in his hand. Folks, listen up. I just got this email from Steve. Steve who? Steve Jobs. He wants to know whether we want Netflix to be the featured streaming app on Apple's new tablet device. Hey, boss, that's cool and all, but we're pretty slammed getting ready for the other product launches.
Wrong answer. I don't care if you have to turn the schedule upside down. Folks, we're doing this one.
Well, when the iPad launches, you know what happens, right? It's a sensation. As soon as people experience watching videos on their tablets, they're hooked. All those years of Netflix focusing on having the best technology, it's finally paying off. Netflix now has the undisputed go-to streaming app for the everyday viewer. Nothing will ever be the same again.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. We get support from Court. You know, the way people work is changing and the workplace itself needs to change too. But what if flexibility wasn't just an option? With Court's flexible furniture solutions, you can create agile work environments that become your team's greatest advantage. Save capital with swing spaces, attract top talent with collaborative environments, and create connected spaces that employees will love. Flexibility is the future, and Court Furniture Rental helps you embrace it. Learn more at Court, that's CORT.com/office.
As the fortunes of Netflix's streaming service rise, not to mention the company's stock price, the media titans of old remain skeptical. Time Warner chief Jeff Bukas is at a business conference in late 2010 when someone asks whether Netflix is a threat to Time Warner's business. It's a little bit like, is the Albanian army going to take over the world? I don't think so. Reed Hastings keeps his composure in public, but privately, he's roasting Bukas. That Albanian army comment becomes Hastings' call to arms. He even issues Albanian army berets to his executive staff and takes to wearing Albanian army dog tags under his shirt. It motivates him to work harder to bury Time Warner and HBO. A year goes by, and Reed Hastings is at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, sharing a stage with the publisher of the Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington.
So are you and Jeff Bukas still BFFs?
Hastings happily pulls the dog tags from under his collar. Well, let's just say I'm proud to wear the dog tags of the Albanian army. By the end of 2010, Hastings has a lot to crow about. Netflix is spending less on marketing, but the number of subscribers explodes to more than 20 million, while cable companies are stagnating or losing customers. Two little words would become cable's worst nightmare: cord cutter. They would also become a boon to Netflix. What could be sweeter? Well, for starters, Fortune magazine bypasses the CEO who pulled General Motors off the rocks to name Reed Hastings its Business Person of the Year. But employees who'd been on the journey with Hastings notice a change. The success is starting to go to his head.
Bukas can't resist taking shots at Netflix publicly.
At a conference in New York, he uses his keynote speech to warn his peers to protect their content, or at least cut better deals.
Why should anyone subscribe to Stars when they can basically get the whole thing for just about nothing? I mean, once you put it on Netflix, you really can't sell it anywhere else. And then, just as Netflix employees were retiring their Albanian berets, Bukas does it again. In an interview with CNBC's Julia Boorstin, the Time Warner chief waves a red flag right in Reed Hastings' direction.
I would say Netflix is like a 200-pound chimp. It's not an 800-pound gorilla.
But now, Hastings takes the insults in stride. With every new goal reached, he becomes more confident and less willing to listen,
not just to the critics like Bukas,
but to those in his inner circle, too. Over the next 2 years, Hastings forces out the executive team that brought him through the bloody blockbuster battle and through the early streaming years. Hastings replaces his battle-hardened no-men, who field-tested his earlier whims, with yes-men, who do what he orders, no questions asked. And then Hastings does something even more dangerous. He stops listening to his customers. In late 2011, Hastings starts charging for streaming, telling customers Netflix would spin off its DVD-by-mail service as a separate company called Quickster. It would become a massive self-inflicted wound. Under this new scheme, if customers wanted to use both DVD-by-mail and streaming, it would cost them. Netflix would charge as much as 60% more. This, in a recession.
Netflix spins off its DVD-by-mail service as Quickster. Is this the worst product launch since New Coke? Shares plummet.
It's a debacle. About 800,000 subscribers quit the service altogether that quarter, and it seems like the rest have jumped on social media to complain. That Sunday, after the big announcement, Hastings summons his PR team to the headquarters in Los Gatos. Steve Swayze, the last of his battle-tested executive staff, arrives to find his boss looking haggard and unkempt. Swayze begs him to reconsider. Then Hastings tells Swayze his own idea for fixing the debacle.
I need to apologize to our subscribers personally, and I want it to feel authentic. We'll put it up on YouTube tonight.
Reed, I don't think you're creating an impression of confidence by wearing that beach shirt and jeans and sitting at a patio table.
Oh, come on, Steve. I want it to look informal.
Okay, I get it. But can we just get a professional camera crew and a little bit of rehearsal?
No rehearsal. I'm going to speak from the heart.
Well, it's almost painful to watch. The video stars Hastings and an uncomfortable-looking Andy Rendich, the new head of Quickster. And almost as soon as it hits YouTube that night, it is savaged by the press, by consumers, and by late-night comics.
Right. Yeah, and by the way, we know it's off-putting to see the CEO of a powerful company rocking a goatee and teal shirt, but trust us, we know what we're doing. Thank you for your support.
It took Netflix more than a year to win back its subscribers. Reed Hastings practically went into hiding because of the anger and mockery his presence evoked for months after the Quickster disaster. As he waited for customers to forgive him, Hastings and his team worked on the next phase of the Netflix revolution.
Our goal is to become HBO faster than HBO can become us.
That is on the next episode of Business Wars.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of Business Wars. I'm your host, David Brown. Gina Keating, author of the book Netflixed, wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Sound design by Jeff Schmidt. Our executive producers are Ben Adair, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Yo, Trey.
Yeah, Kevin, what's up, man?
I was just thinking, what would have happened if Drew Brees didn't fail his physical with the Dolphins and ended up playing under Nick Saban in Miami?
There's a good shot the Finns establish a dynasty. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick probably don't become GOATs, and Tuscaloosa doesn't become the center of the college football universe.
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Hey, I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass
or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.